This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
What I shared on last week, remember we went to Mark 11 and read the passage of scripture there where Jesus had cursed his fig tree, and later on the day the disciples came back with Jesus and saw that the fig tree was all withered up from the roots in such an incredibly short time, and they're amazed. And Jesus used that to teach them about faith. And we'll read it again so we've got it in our minds. So Mark 11 and verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." And you can literally translate that, "Have the faith of God." Have the faith of God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. There's all this, remember I talked about God as, I talked about my little granddaughter and grandson teaching them to read, actually putting words in their mouth, and how God puts words in our mouth because he's wanting to teach us to speak. In fact, he grabbed the hold of Jeremiah as a very young man and said, "I've called you, I've ordained you, even before you were born in the womb, I called you." And he said, "I've called you as a prophet to the nation." You know what Jeremiah said? "Lord, I can't speak." Suddenly realized that he was going to be called upon to make a declaration, to make a confession, to speak, to stand before men, to stand before kings, and to literally speak, to declare. And he says, "Lord, I can't speak." Many times do we do that? "I can't speak. I'm not feeling good today. I don't feel on top of the world today. I don't feel I can overcome it. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. You don't understand my background, my family situation. I can't speak. I'm too old now to speak." In fact, there's a passage in Judges. "You who sit on white donkeys," talking about judges of Israel, older men, commanding them to speak. Young men and old men begin to speak. So Jeremiah's called to speak, and he realized this is to stand before governors, to stand before peoples, and to speak. He says, "I can't speak. I'm a youth. And God reaches out his hand and touches him. And he says, on the mouth, on the lips, he says, "Behold, I've put my words in your mouth." And later on he says, "I'm watching. I'm watching." And that word literally means he's anticipating. I wrote down that saying, that desire of God is resting in our hands. He's watching, anticipating, because he wants to perform his word that he's put in our mouth to come out of our mouth. So, and we looked at words being powerful. Remember I told you about stew? Just naturally, you know, my whinging about stew. I hate stew. And it affected my taste buds. Started complaining, murmuring, griping, till I got the rebuke from my wife and realised, oh, it's true. I never used to grizzle like that about my food, and had to confess and repent and get my speech back on track. In everything, give what? Thanks. Have you got your speech? That's the greatest indicator as to whether your speech is on track. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You. Point to each other. You. Me. Concerning us. So learning to be thankful for everything. So then we looked at, just trying to remember where I went with it, is that God is teaching us to speak because he's put his word in our mouth and he's watching to perform it. And I want to just share something here that God really spoke to me very powerfully. I have this sense that God is bringing us to a point where we've got to make a stand, where we've got to make a declaration. And depending on where you are with God, whatever's in your heart is going to come out at that time. Are you ready? You're going to be called to the witness stand. You're going to be called to the witness stand to give your testimony. And whatever is in your heart will be brought out. You'll make that declaration. Anyway, I'll just backtrack a little bit here. In Isaiah, I was reading through Isaiah. I actually started early in Isaiah, and I was just reading all through the chapters in Isaiah, and I've actually highlighted it in my Bible, but it was like it came out highlighted as I was reading it. I've done it since. But in it, Isaiah 44, "Yet hear me, O Jacob, my servant." Hear me, just stood out to me. And then as I read on a little bit more, "Hear this, O house of Jacob," jumped out at me. "Listen to me, O Jacob," Isaiah 48. And then Isaiah 48 again, "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments," or "listened to my commandments." In Isaiah 49, "Listen, O coastlands, to me." Isaiah 51, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation." Verse 7, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness." He sort of suddenly was aware that God was wanting me to listen to him. Takes a lot. Takes a lot for him to get my attention. But it was like it was jumping out and God was saying, "Listen to me, listen to me." And when I got to Isaiah 51, I sort of, God had my attention, and he's actually spoken to me through this passage a lot. But I'll start in verse 7 of Isaiah 51. "Listen to me, you who know righteousness." Do you know righteousness? What does it mean? If you know Jesus and know that he shed his blood to wash you clean, have confessed him as Lord, you know righteousness because he is our righteousness. It says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law." So he's talking to new covenant believers here. Because isn't that the whole of the new covenant? "I'll write my laws, I'll put them in your heart and write them there." He says here, "Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults." Now, this is one of the key things in this chapter, about being afraid of men. This is what's going to rob us. "Do not be afraid of men, of their insults, of their reproach. For he says, the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation." Then he says, "Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in ancient days." And just go down to verse 12. I am he who comforts you." It's God who comforts us. "Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die, and of the son of man who will be made like grass?" Back at that. "And you forget the Lord your maker." Remember I shared that testimony of God rebuking me for my fear? Because literally I was turning my back on God and saying, "My fear is greater than you, God." "You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor when he has prepared to destroy." And where is the fury of the oppressor? "The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. But I am the Lord your God who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name." I love it when we sing about how awesome God is, how incredible he is. Something within me just stirs up and awakens. Our God is an awesome God. He's the one that stills the waves of the sea. "The Lord of hosts is his name." This is at verse 16. "And I've put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. When I read that, it just astounded me. God's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. How I read it, this is just my opinion, this is what God spoke to me, is that God's going to do it through his people. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What did he do? He spoke a word. He spoke. We know that the heavens were created by the word of God. He's teaching his children to speak. Man, when his children learn to speak and learn to declare, and literally Mark 11 says, have the faith of God. Have God's faith. What kind of faith? That's astounding. That's astounding faith. It's not presumption. It's not you just blabbing, searching this and finding out whatever you want to do and speaking it out. It's not that, but it's meditate in this word. That's the key. Remember Jesus said the key to all of this is what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, what? Your mouth will speak. In fact, he also goes on to say that a good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth what? Good things. So here's the key. What are you treasuring in your heart? I'll find out eventually because it'll come out of your mouth. What am I treasuring in my heart? You'll find out eventually because it will come out of my mouth. My mouth, you could say, will give me away. It'll either be a blessing to me or a cursing. You know, what does James say? Out of the same mouth, we've got to be so careful, this mouth and tongue, that out of the same mouth shouldn't proceed both blessing and cursing. But God has put his word in our mouth and in our heart. The word is near you. It's where? It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. And the greatest word that every single one of us has received is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and he is Lord. That's what we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. We make that stand, and what does the scripture say? We are saved. How awesome is that? And this same principle applies. So, whatever's in your heart, there's the key. So what are you thinking about? What are you meditating on day and night? What did God say to Joshua in Joshua 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Isn't it amazing he said that? This book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, for then you will make your way successful, or you'll be prosperous, you'll be blessed, then you will do it. So Joshua is told to meditate on Psalm 1. We're talking about the trees and the tree that produces good fruit, the tree that's planted by the river of water brings forth fruit in its season. It likens to a man who meditates in his word day and night. And meditation is literally like pondering it. You know, you can read a lot of stuff and not meditate on it. You can get a lot of information but not really think it over. And that's why I like to liken meditating to actually eating. That's why Jesus said, my flesh is meat indeed and my blood is drink indeed. And people said, what? And he said, my word, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So in the same way that we can have food on a plate, and you know, I love that, you get food on a plate and you've got to put it in your mouth, and what do you do? What do you do after you've got it in your mouth? Chew it, especially if it's meat. Well, isn't that amazing? Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews is talking about today if you will hear his voice. Now, and it likens Israel that they heard his voice, but they didn't mix faith with what they heard. In other words, they didn't chew it. Then Hebrews 5, he goes on to warn the Hebrew people. He said, by this time you should be teaching others. You should be giving milk to others. You shall be leading them to salvation in faith and encouraging their faith to the babies. But you need to be taught again. You need to learn how to chew. You need to meditate in this word day and night. And that's why Jeremiah 15 and verse 6 or 16. I forgot where it was now. Jeremiah says, "Your words were found and I ate them. And they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Right there, you can see that Jeremiah got God's word, it came to him, and he likened it to find, I found a treasure. And he started to chew it. He started to eat it. I ate it. He meditated on that word that came to him day and night. He refused to let the devil come along and steal that word so that it wouldn't produce fruit in his life. So it's like the sower sowing the word, the seed, the word of God that comes to us in seed form, and we begin to chew on it. We begin to meditate on it. We begin to ponder that word and think about it, so that what happens? It becomes part of us. Doesn't it happen naturally when we eat food? We chew it, you know, whatever happens here, and it becomes part of us through the stomach, through this whole process. I remember watching this science program, and they had a stomach of a live cow, and the cow had three stomachs. Has anybody ever seen that? But on this show, they literally had cut holes in the side of the stomach. It was pretty gross. And they put plugs there so that they could see what was happening in each part of the stomach, in each three stomachs. I thought, poor cows, but they were happily chewing away. They had plenty of food in front of them. They didn't seem to mind that they had holes in their side, had plugs. But and they were studying how that the cows, you know, they eat the grass, they crop it off, and then it would go through all these three stomachs until it was thoroughly processed and, you know, went through the whole body and became nutrients to all the body. But an animal like that, you've heard the saying, they chew the cud, but they'll go and eat as much grass as they can. And then they'll sit still in a place and they'll chew the cud. All the grass that they've cropped off, they will re-chew it until it's thoroughly consumed, until it's thoroughly digestible. Do we do that? When the word of the Lord comes, when we get a prophetic word, I I'm really challenged by that. Because as a pastor, you know, you've got to read the word, you've got to prepare for preaching, and that can become a trap because you think, oh, I've done my bit. I've already prepared a word, but it becomes a trap. What about my personal eating? What about my personal meditating? What God is saying to me? And I was very challenged by that word that Karen had. There's an urgency. And I've had again, I remember I would see a clock and I would see 11:11. And I remember years back that would challenge me. And just in this last year, I've seen it eight or so times. You know, I go to bed and I look at the clock and it's 11:11. And I thought, God, are you trying to get through to me again? 11:11 means it's almost time. So that word was really impacting on me, because what I sense is you're going to be called to the witness stand. You are going to be called to the witness stand, and what are you going to say? What are you going to say when you're called to that place to give your testimony? And it's not just a case of trying to escape something or anything, but it may be that your testimony is going to bring salvation to others. Remember, I went through all those people who said it, David. Here's the giant. Here's Goliath. He's been meditating out in the wilderness, playing his harp, singing songs to God, singing his word back to him, praising him for what he had done in his heart. You know, giving thanks. That's where it all starts. Thanking God, first of all, for the word. Do you thank him for it? Or do you say, oh, how can that be? Oh, that's not me. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through, God. How can you say something like that to me? You don't know my real situation. You don't know how hard it is. You know, often the Lord will come to us and bring a word and we don't even get it. We let the devil steal it straight away. Just imagine that when Jesus came to that man who, 40 years, he was a cripple lying by that pool of Bethesda. Remember, and there was a multitude of sick people because as soon as the water was stirred, an angel had come down. Whoever got in there first was healed. Well, here's a crippled man, been there 40 years. And Jesus said, do you want to be well? Do you want to be made well? Right now. Here's the word of the Lord coming to him. Do you want to be made well? Oh, you don't know my circumstance. You don't know my situation. I've got no man. And we miss the word of the Lord. Right now, it's come to you and it's come to me. God's not concerned. Yes, he is concerned about our circumstance, but he's not concerned if you're going to use it as an excuse. He's already sent the answer to you and to me. He's already sent it because he already knows. He already knows every one of our circumstances and situations. Already, he knows it in absolute detail. Sometimes we feel we've got to explain it to God because he, you know, maybe he doesn't know properly. Lord, you know the circumstance. They're this and they're that and I'm this and that. He says, I know. Get to the point. You know, I've already made provision for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I think that's where most of our prayer should be, finding out what the will of God is. And it's here as we meditate in it. The times, you know, when I've meditated in this word, and, you know, I don't know when God's going to bring it up, but when that treasure gets in your heart, and then you're just doing life, and you come up against a circumstance, a situation in your life that can make or break you, and you've got to make a decision, you've got to make a declaration, because it'll come out of your mouth. And it's in those times when the word of God that's been planted in there will come up. Say, I shall not die but live and declare the glory of God. I shall not die. So here's David standing before a giant, Goliath. And Goliath says, come to me. I'm going to take your head off and I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David, what does he say? He's been meditating on the word of God. He says, you come to me with a sword, a spear, a javelin. He says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. He's the one who fights the battle. Are we ready for the battle? So he says, okay, this day I'm going to take your head off of you. And I'm going to feed the carcasses of the whole Philistine army to the birds of the air. What an awesome declaration. Are you ready for that to come out of your mouth? Because it will. God says, I put my word in your heart and in your mouth, and I'm watching my word. I'm anticipating. I'm eager to perform it. Because it's got to come out of our mouth first of all. So are you ready for that? Are you ready for what God wants to do in your life? Are you ready to take the witness stand? Are you ready like Abraham in his moment of crisis when God said, go take your son, your only son, sacrifice him on the mountain that I'll show you? Remember I shared about Abraham's declaration of faith. He said to his two servants, stay here. The lad and I are going to go worship them. We will come back to you. So he's already speaking his hope and his faith there. He was not some kind of martyr, you know, oh, poor me, I'll just do what God wants and there's no hope or no future in it. No, he had an absolute future. He knew that God, even if he did it, God was able to raise him from the dead. In fact, he expected God to do that because God had told him he's going to be blessed through this son that he was giving. So he knew that God, even though it seemed a contradiction in his mind, he knew God and it came out of his mouth. I mean, that's faith, isn't it? So what mountain is in front of you? What obstacle is in front of you that God is going to want you to speak to? What situation are you facing that God is planting within you his word? Are you meditating in that word? Here's the deal. Often we try to, what we're thinking is, God, my problem, my situation is bigger than you. We're afraid. It's much bigger than you. God says, no, it's not. I'm going to put my word. Now meditate in it day and night. Joshua, what if Joshua said, the problems are bigger than we can handle. They're walled cities. There are giants. They're huge. The people are numerous. They're incredibly strong. If he'd have just focused on that, he would have been overcome with fear. But instead, he focused on what? Meditate on the word of God day and night. Then you will make your way successful. I want to finish up. If you've got your notice sheet there, I want to just give a call for prayer for those that need healing. That's come out several times this morning. We're going to believe for healing. Charles Spurgeon, in your notes there, if you wish to know God, you must know his word. If you wish to perceive his power, you must see how he works by his word. If you wish to know his purpose before it comes to pass, you can only discover it by his word. And then Nancy DeFriends, I think. When you meditate on God's word, to mutter to yourself, to think deeply into, to ponder, it puts you in that verse and he puts that verse in you. The word becomes real to you. It becomes alive. Meditating on God's word helps you to own it. And you know that you can't spend something and you don't own. Isn't that true? Many people have learned to confess God's word, but sometimes with little results, because they haven't taken the time to meditate on it first and to make it real in their hearts. That's incredibly true. It's not, you know, we can't live on somebody else's faith. It's got to be your faith. So my encouragement to you today is that the word of the Lord has come to you. Jesus has come to you, so the word of the Lord has come to you, and he's spoken specific things to you, and he's watching to perform his word when it comes out of your mouth. Because if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. That's the same principle that works in every area of our Christian life. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the high priest of what? Our confession. So we need to give him something to work with. And that confession will come out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak as you meditate in this word. Now, God's been speaking to us about healing. We have parents collecting children now, so we're just going to close in prayer. And I would like to give opportunity for those that need healing in your body, because God wants to heal you now. We're going to speak to sickness and disease and rebuke it in the name of Jesus, because by his stripes we were healed. So can we all stand up, please?
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.